Our scripture text is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The three verses that were recited earlier on forms the substance of our message. And I have entitled this morning's message as The Happy Will of God. Perhaps you've not heard this kind of description of God's will. Because a common impression left in our minds, imprinted in our minds, is whenever something very unhappy, some great disaster happens, and we don't know how to explain why it should be so in our lives, then we finally say, well, it is the will of God. And that remains in the back of my mind, always, will of God. Whenever something is bad, you blame it on God's will, and that's it. I pray and hope that this morning's message will help us to understand God has a wonderful will. A will for each one who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ. A will that is a happy will, that works for our good, that is always the best for us, and not in any way to be blamed for disasters such as in 1965. I've related this. When we were in Life Church, we were having a family camp up in Cameron Highlands, and three of the important people were killed as we were approaching Cameron Highlands. Then in 1988, a repeat, as it were, another traffic accident in Melbourne, and two were killed and many were crippled or injured. Then we come together, we pray together, and then we say, how can we explain it? Ah, God's will. And so there remains in our minds that kind of hangover. God's will is always to be explained and to be blamed for disasters and bad happenings. Verses 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I will read for you, and please try and absorb these three verses as one passage, one message, and not three verses, so that you understand it better. All right, what is God's word telling us this morning? To every believer, every born-again Christian, these three verses apply very well. First, rejoice evermore under any circumstances. That's what it means. Second, pray without ceasing. Third, in everything, give thanks. Now, we conclude this, as this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now you understand it. It's not three parts, but the three verses are one message. Always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, whether good or bad, thank God. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Because you are a Christian, these verses apply. Not otherwise. Now the key verse to understand how we accept these three verses is in verse 9. Please turn to verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God hath an appointment for each one of us who has come to Jesus for salvation. He has appointed us to salvation and not to wrath. Meaning to say, Every one of us should be always conscious of this great blessing of salvation. When you came to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess your sins, receive Him as your Savior, you are spared and forgiven all your sins. My sins and your sins were taken away by our Savior on the cross. And in place of the punishment, the wrath of God that comes upon all unbelievers, all who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, that wrath is taken away. So we are appointed. That is an appointment. Something that is waiting for you. Like your appointment tomorrow morning, you got to see a doctor. That is your appointment. Remember that this epistle of 1 Thessalonians, 5 chapters, is all the time reminding us of our great appointment. And that the great appointment is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, whom you believe, whom having not seen you love, because you have put your faith in Him, believing He has become your Savior, and He has an appointment with you. If that is so, then the three verses 16, 17, 18 becomes meaningful. Because I have an appointment. Do you know that? When Jesus comes, that is the appointment for you. Believing in Jesus, you are spared from the judgment. Jesus comes back for two purposes, too. Number one, to receive His own. That includes you. That is the appointment. For the unbelieving world that rejects Jesus, rejects the gospel, rejects the word of God, there is another appointment. Appointment of judgment. And it says, the terror of the Lord will be upon this. So, dear friends, look at verse 9 again and assimilate. Let us, as you hear this message, keep praying in your heart that you will not forget. The Holy Spirit will impress on your mind. You believe in Jesus very well. It's not a head belief. It is a heart belief. It is a whole commitment to the glorious message. And verse 9 tells you again, please follow. God has not appointed you to the judgment of wrath, awaiting all those who reject the gospel. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Him. Perchance we have any in our midst who are still seeking, who are still not sure, who are still outside Jesus Christ, who are still far away as aliens and foreigners and enemies of the gospel. I say, today is your day of opportunity. Come to the Savior and receive Him in salvation, and receive that appointment, verse 9, to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. Can you remember this? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. We want to read it all together because it's so precious. You try it, please, everyone, so that you will not forget. Together. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If so, the appointment for you is a wonderful appointment, so that whether you suffer today, whether you have so many problems today, which is not uncommon, you can still rejoice evermore, because you do not live for today. At the back of your mind, in your heart, you know, I am destined for that great day when Jesus Christ, my Lord, will appear. Remember what I said just now. This epistle is to prepare God's people for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? That's why verse 1 says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you no need I write to you. I've reminded you so often already. And it is something so important. Please understand, we're not nagging. But it is important enough for us to repeat it practically every day, which we don't. If I remind you every Lord's Day, say thank you. It says here, of the times and seasons, you have no need that I remind you. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. Are you ready, dear friends? The only way to be ready is to come to Jesus and receive that holy appointment to salvation. Then you can rejoice under any circumstances. I spoke to some members yesterday. Old lady, so sick, losing weight because of gastrointestinal upset. How are you? Praise the Lord. I'm not so bad. While you are suffering in a physical sickness, which is not uncommon, all of us go through it, you can still say, I rejoice in the Lord because I know if I succumb to my present illness, which is not uncommon again, I know, absent from this body, I'm present with the Lord. I rejoice, therefore. So at the back of my mind, my attitude in life is one of rejoicing. Now you follow. It's not that, oh, when I'm told I've got cancer, I say, hip, hip, hooray, wonderful. That kind of rejoicing is not on. But when I go home, I can tell my family, I can share with them, doctor says I've got this condition or that condition, and the prognosis is not very good, but what does it matter? Whether you live this earthly life of trouble another 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 5 months, what does it matter? It is what comes afterward that matters. Dear friends, if you are a participant of verse 9, that God has an appointment of salvation for you, that you are included in that appointment, that the book of God has your name in it, then I can tell my family, my condition is such. But I know my Lord knows my condition. But I know that God has a plan for me, a will for me. He has appointed me to salvation. I know when He comes, I shall be changed, right? This is a promise. This is salvation. This is not space fiction or imagination. This is the infallible, inerrant promise of the Word of God. And dare you take God at His Word? Oh, my friends, this life is not worth living until you have come to the position of salvation in Jesus Christ. Then you can face the future, whether you have Parkinson's, whether you have Alzheimer's. You know what is Alzheimer's? Part of a brain rots away, wastes away, and you cannot remember things. You ask your husband, ask the wife, ask the children, the same question 3 times in 10 minutes, you know. Yeah, when you hear that, you know something's happening. And it happens. So what does it matter? If you have that appointment with God that I have Jesus as my Savior, He's coming for me. Specifically for you. He's coming with a reward. What do you do then? Rejoice. Even though I have this condition and the doctor says, your prognosis is 6 months. 6 months. I say, praise the Lord. This is where verse 16 comes in. Yeah. Rejoice evermore. How to rejoice? Go home and say, wow, let's go and have a 10-course dinner because the doctor says I'm going to die. It's not that. It's not that. But when I realize that I have to go, please realize that. All of us here. All of us are on the way to that eternal, inevitable destiny. Yes. And if it is sooner, I say, praise the Lord. Because I'll be in the land of freedom from all earth woes once and for all. There will be no darkness, no weeping or crying, no sadness, no sickness, no accidents, no old people's homes for me to go to. Some of us are looking forward to that, you know. When you can't cope at home, you've got to go to another home. All these things are part and parcel of this life, which you cannot avoid, because in this sinful, condemned condition, we have these things in prospect for us. Then when you have this wonderful appointment for salvation when the Lord comes, you will daily look forward to that day. Are you? Don't wait till you are very old like me. Then, you know, my better half this last week was sick. She says, I came to the church and it was so cold, I shivered. When I got home, I got sick. And for the last week, she's sick. And when you eat breakfast by yourself, you think. Yeah, soon you have to eat breakfast by yourself all the time. These are the hard facts of life. Then what do you do? Verse 16 applies. Rejoice evermore. If either of us goes, we know where we are going. We know the Lord is waiting. Do you have that assurance? Ah, that makes all the difference. Then you can truly say, rejoice evermore. Under any circumstances, I rejoice. Sickness? How about misfortune? Accident? Yes, they come. Even motor accidents? You drive carefully? We did that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's going straight. Out of the blue, somebody U-turns where there is no U-turn and runs into me. So then you lose your car for 1 week and you wonder, why should this happen to us? Answer, because we are in a sin-controlled world. Because Adam fell and the curse came on all the planet Earth and on everything, there is a curse. Now if you can escape that curse, let me ask you, is it better to escape the curse sooner or later? When you see it in that light, if there is a way out to go into the place of everlasting peace and joy and health and God's presence with Him forevermore, no change, never again. Now the question is, sooner or later? Ah, that answers the question, doesn't it? So that when the news of bad happening, your mother has got Alzheimer's, you got cancer, and so on and so forth. All these diseases, you can multiply them. There's no end of disease on earth. For we live in a sin-cursed world. How then can you rejoice? Answer again, I'll tell you until you will never forget. The answer is to find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Psychologists will tell you what? You know what? You go and ask a psychologist. Oh, forget your troubles. Go and see a comedy. Go to the cinema. A comic film. Then you laugh it off and then you'll be fine. For the 2 hours you laugh. When you finish laughing, there's all the sadness and the regrets coming back again. You back to square one. Psychologists do not solve your problem. They only play on the mind. So, dear friends, rejoice evermore. Verse 17. Can you see there? Pray without ceasing. This is another blessing for us. For every believer, you have access to the throne room of Jesus Christ, you know. And there he is waiting. Remember, our Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, doing what? Answer, do you know? You turn to Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25 says here, wherefore he is also able to save you to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you. That is why we must never neglect the throne of grace, seeing that we have a wonderful Savior. What did the Savior do for you? He died on Calvary's cross. He rose on the third day. Then he went to heaven. But he didn't say goodbye forevermore. I'm going and you keep well and do your best. Not at all. What did Jesus say? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. But in the meantime, he is seated at God's right hand, praying for you. What a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful cure for worries. Not like the one who says, I cannot sleep because I have so many worries. Why don't you come to the throne of grace? And here it says, our Lord ever liveth to make intercession for you. Simply because you have already been cleansed by his blood, saved by his death. At the cross of Calvary, you are included in his prayer list. You know that? So, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is not a superstition as some people say. Unbelievers attack it, but prayer is a meeting place with God. And there is a wonderful time for interchange, for sharing. Tell the Lord your problems there at the throne of grace, which is freely available any time of the day. Not like the hospital's A&E department. A&E usually is open all the time, but usually gets very busy at as the sun goes down. Everybody feels urgent, emergencies arise, and they all rush there to see the doctor. But the doctor usually palms off to someone else, you know. I refer you to other departments. But here is an A&E where all your problems are sorted out to your complete satisfaction. Pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ, our spiritual physician, is there always available, round the clock, 24 hours, available to attend to you for your need. Therefore, not just rejoice, but pray, meet with your Lord without ceasing. Do not put off, for he is always there, waiting. The only problem is, you do not go. How can he help you if you don't go to him? So I say, dear friends, after rejoicing, speak to the Lord whatever your problem is. And in everything give thanks, because our future is assured. Your future is assured. You say, but I've lost my job. Or I've lost badly on the stock market. Or whatever it is. I'm disappointed with life. I say, whatever has happened to you as a child of God in the knowledge and with the consent of the Savior himself. It may be to teach you a lesson. Why play on the stock market? Yes, and get your fingers burned, and some people get their whole bodies burned. What for? So these are things. Rejoice, because even though you've lost everything, at least you know my soul is safe. I have an appointment with the Savior. It is a wonderful appointment. And for all these things, God has a plan for us. I want to turn you to a passage which we will find great comfort in, and that is in another epistle written by Paul. Romans 8. Yes, his name is not there, but I believe he wrote it. Romans chapter 8. Then you will understand why is it we can rejoice, we can pray without ceasing, and we can always give thanks to God, for a good reason given to us in detail in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 31 of Romans chapter 8 says, what shall we say then to these things? You've told me about so many unfortunate, unhappy things that can happen to us, all of us, anytime, anywhere. And these things make life very miserable, isn't it? True? Yes. On the surface. So Paul says to us, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? So many unhappy things can happen to us. What is the solution? What is the answer? Answer is, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Isn't that great? Is God for you? When you come to the Savior in repentance and receive His forgiveness and receive His precious blood, you become a child of God. And you come under the care of the Heavenly Father. And let me ask all you fathers here, how do you care for your son? For your children? All normal fathers, how do you care for your children? The answer is here. If God be for us, who can be against us? If your Heavenly Father is for you, who can be against you? Answer is, nobody. Because my God is greater than anything else. And therefore, when I know that I have a Heavenly Father who cares for me, I can rejoice. True? Whatever happens, no bad luck. It may be a bad happening. Yes, they come my way because I live in a troublous world, in a sin-sick world, and these things I cannot avoid. They may come my way, it may come your way tomorrow, and you say, well, that's bad luck. I say, no. Verse 11, verse 31. If God be for you, who can be against you? Cheer up, dear friends. Only make sure that God is for you. If you're for the Lord Jesus Christ, God is for you. Make sure of that. Verse 32. This is most comforting. It says, He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for you, how shall He not with Him also give you all things freely? Wonderful. Wonderful. When you understand this verse, Romans 8:32, you can rejoice under any circumstances. Whether it is sickness or sadness, disappointment or failures, accidents or near death, nothing separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. If He did not spare giving Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, for you, why should He? How should He deny you all the other blessings? For that is the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing He can give to you is His only begotten Son. And He did not spare giving you Jesus Christ. Then how can He hold back others' lesser blessings of comfort, of consolation, of peace, of daily provision and providence, and His constant abiding presence to comfort you? Will He deny you those things? Answer is impossible. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Yes, The best thing in salvation is that God justifies me. Because I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is my mediator. He is my propitiation. He is my substitute. Because of Him, I am justified. And that is all that matters today. Whether before God you are justified or not. He says here, you are justified in Jesus Christ. Verse 34. Who is he that condemns you? It is Christ that died, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for you. Amen. You remember this verse? In fact, this whole passage is very precious. If my Lord is at the right hand of God, as it says here in verse 34, making intercession for me. For there is no other mediator but Jesus Christ. He is my mediator. He is your mediator. He is your go-between. He is your advocate. He is the one who pleads your cause. He is the one who stands for you before the Father in heaven. And He is there on your behalf. Therefore you can rejoice. There is good reason why you rejoice. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, my friends, come to the foot of the cross and there look up to the Savior and see how He agonized for you on the cross. All because He loves you. And because of that, you have justification with God. You have freedom from all the guilt and the burden of sin. And when He comes at that appointed time, you are included for His blessing to be received as a child of God because God's word promises it. That is the love of God. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Yes. I want to repeat this. When Jesus told His disciples, He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. You cannot run away from it because you are still in the world. And the world is a sin-sick world. It's a cursed world. And in this world, you will have tribulation. You cannot run away from it. But, what does Jesus say? Cheer up. I have overcome the world. So you do not have to make peace with the world or make friends with the world, for he who will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The world is condemned. The world is to perish, to be destroyed one day. And God has a better place for you, and that is the appointment. You are appointed because you have come to Jesus Christ, and that is the love of God. The appointment is for you to the heavenly place that He has prepared. Read on. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Not at all. Distresses? No. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? How many of us have gone through any of these? I say, practically none of us have even smelt anything like it. But these are the things that Paul talks about that he went through. Prisons, killings, stonings, all these things, eventually to suffer martyrdom for his faith. And yet, these things do not separate him from the love of Christ, and nothing, therefore, can separate you from the love of Christ, provided you have come to him in salvation. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then we can say with Paul back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, yes, rejoice evermore when you return home today. Remember this passage. Remember the message of this morning. That we have the happy will of God. that God cares for you, that God sent His only begotten Son for you, and included you in His family, therefore, I and you can rejoice evermore. Every day in your living, remember, I am a child of God. I am appointed unto salvation. And I am looking forward to my Lord Jesus coming. When He comes, all my earthly worries and sorrows and woes and burdens will fall away, all of them. Rejoice evermore, therefore. Pray without ceasing, because the Lord Jesus is there with you, waiting for you. In everything, give thanks, because God has seen fit to include you for all these blessings that come to you. Therefore, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. What is the will of God? What is the will of God for you? Do you know? God's will for you is that you walk with the Lord. That you be grateful for what you have received. That you follow the Lord every day of your life. This is the will of God. That when you meet with unfavorable circumstances, you do not fold up and despair. But you know that these things are sent to try us. But Jesus Christ is still with you. And He is able to support you to the uttermost, to save you to the uttermost. Therefore, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks. This is the will of God. A happy will. A happy will. In Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the precious promise of Thy word, that because Jesus Christ has died for us, and we have come to receive Him as Savior and Lord and Master and God, we have an everlasting future, a future secure, an inheritance undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, that we have an absolute certainty of an inheritance with Thee. Therefore we can rejoice and we can give thanks for all that Thou wilt send to us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.